ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रासलीला भगवत कथा अधिक मायना डिस्कसिंग चैप्टर 29 वर्स 4 निशम्य गीतं तरणंगवर्धनं प्रजास्त्रिया कृष्ण गृहीतमानसः अजग्मुरान्योन्यं अलक्षितोद्यमे स यत्र कान्तो जवलोलकुन्दला। When the young gopis of Vrindavan heard Krishna's enchanting flute song, which arouses romantic feelings, their minds were captivated by Krishna. Those damsels of Braj ran to where their lover waited, each unknown to the other, moving so quickly that their earrings swung back and forth. We're discussing line one. Nishamyam Gitam Taranangavardhanam. We're discussing yesterday about Anangavardhanam. Ananga means Cupid, god of love. But there's a spiritual counterpart to the material god of love, the Aprakrita, Madan, Manmata, Manmata Sham, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So here we see the power of Bhagavan's flute and the power of Bhagavan, his sound, the sound of his flute, the sound of his name, his sight, his form, his taste, his fragrance. The material Kamadev, Ananga, with his five arrows of sound and sight and smell and taste and touch, he controls everyone in this world. We're moved by our desire to smell, moved by our desire to see and touch and taste, have and to hold, enjoy. We enjoy through our body, and our body has five senses, and through our senses we enjoy. And Kamadeva is the Lord of enjoyment, the Lord of material enjoyment, Lord of lust, Anangavardhanam. And when he affects someone, when he shoots his arrows of form and taste and sound and smell and touch, when he shoots his five arrows into the heart or mind of a man or woman, then they're dormant. Lust or Ananga increases, Vardhanam, becomes stronger and stronger. It burns to flaming proportions sometimes. Uncontrollable urges, intense cravings. Men and women become driven by their lust to enjoy the material world. And then we discussed the power of God. Kamadev has the power of attraction. We're attracted by our eyes, we're attracted by our nose and our ears and touch and taste. And Kamadev fuels those attractions and arranges us objects for our senses to be attracted to. A young man is naturally attracted to a young woman and vice versa. So in Kamadev, the expert god of enjoyer, the god of lust, or material love, he makes all arrangements for a man to find a woman, for a woman to find a man, and enjoy the material life, sense enjoyment. But then there's a transcendental Kamadev, a Prakrita, a Lokik Madan, Krishna, Bhagavan, and he makes all arrangements for us to enjoy his service. Usually no one can have the idea of connecting enjoyment with work. We work at a job so we can get out of work and enjoy on the weekends, or at least on Sunday or Saturday. There's work and there's pleasure. Service, you ask someone, what is your job? I'm in government service. Have you heard this term? I'm in service. But government service means the service of Maya. Government service means the service of Kamdev. Lust, anger, greed. We work because we need money to live, to maintain, and to satisfy our desires to enjoy life. But then we're saying that Krishna engages us in his service, we quote unquote work for Krishna, we serve Krishna, and we get pleasure. Pleasure from working, pleasure from serving for God and serving God and working for God. And he satisfies all of our senses, as does the Kamadeva, the Ananga of this world. At least he attempts to. We enlist his help. We enlist the alliance of Kamadeva, the material god of love and lust, and his other name, Ananga. Because whether you see him, whether you see Mr. Kamadeva, Mr. Lust, or not, he exists. His power exists. His prabhav exists. His force exists. So that means he's bodiless. We don't see Kamadeva shooting his arrows at us of lust, searing through our minds and burning our hearts. So he's bodiless. He's not to be seen. He's Ananga. He has no visible, tangible, external body perceivable by our senses. But our hearts can perceive it. Our minds can perceive it. Has any woman in this world ever said, I feel very lusty? Has any man in this world ever said, I feel very lusty? I would think so. Probably millions, if not billions. This is life. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya. And as we mentioned yesterday, the progression is like dominoes. Dominoes are little wooden blocks with some white dots on them. And you line them up as a child's game and you push one and they all fall down. So when we succumb or submit to material lust, then what happens? Lust opens the door to anger. Anger opens the door to greed. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, and madness. It's a progression. So if we nip it in the bud, if we control lust, then automatically we control everything else. Cheto Darpana Marginam. If we become free from lust, Kamadeva, then there's no more anger, greed, envy, madness, or illusion. How to become free from lust? Raslila Shrutifal says that, hear this Raslila, Rasa Panchadaya, Anushrutya, hear it, with Shradavan, Shrada Anvita. In other words, hear the sound of Krishna. Become free from lust. In other words, contact God, the Prakrita Madan. Kamadeva, the material god of lust, has so much power to move and control and bend us in all different ways of sadness and happiness and hankering and distress and disappointment and appointment and disappointment, meeting and separation. And God has less power than one minor powerful god of this world. Kamadeva is simply a shakti, that power of working in this world. Well, we are giving an example of how when one contacts the sound of God, the gopis contacted Nishamya Gitam. Nishamya Gitam. We have Bhagavad Gitam, Gopi Git, Rudra Git. So many Gits are there in Puran. Bhikshu Git, Aila Git, Brahma Git, Mahishi Git, Bhagavad Gita. Then we have the word Nishamya. Nishamya means very comfortable, very relaxing, very soothing. Nishamya. So that song was very comforting and very relaxing. It was a very comforting and soothing sound in the Nishamya Gita, which this verse is describing. It was the sound of Krishna's Muralinad, his flute, calling them for romantic affairs. So Krishna's power, that they heard the sound of the Muralinad and entered their heart, and it created Ananga Vardhanam, intense desire in the gopis' hearts to love God. Just contacting the sound of God, the Shabda Brahman, the sound of God, entering their ears. All sound enters our hearts and minds through the medium of the ears, the Ak Pravesh, the Ak Rasta, the roadway of the ears, the pathway of the ears. And entered their hearts and created Ananga. Ananga means lust, it means Cupid, it means romantic, amorous love. But for Maya, for the body, for other bodies, for God. That sound, the Shamyam Gitam, created love of God. And then a whole new body appeared. Ananga means that the gopis got a new body, a spiritual body, by hearing that sound. If they didn't have one, like the Kanyakumaris, etc., Nityasiddhas, they went in that spiritual body to be with Krishna. And Yogamaya arranged that body to go with Krishna, the spiritual one, and that other one to stay with their husbands. This is in the Tikas later. So that was Ananga. Ananga made them Ananga. It's Ananga, when they, Ananga Vardhanam, their love of God, the gopis, increased so much, it's told in this 29.4, that they, just by hearing sound, Shabda Brahman in the form of flute, Krishna's Vamshi, Murali in this case, then their love, romantic love, transcendental, spiritual, sacred, divine love, reached such a proportion that they gave up their bodies. Gave up their bodies means their mental body. Mental body means your attachments. Where are your attachments? In your mind. You're attached to your mother, father, husband, wife. It's a mental adjustment. Before you met your wife, she did not exist in your mind. First she exists in your mind, and then your heart, and that's a total takeover. Lock, stock, and barrel. Head to foot. Paisa to crores. Rupees to everything. So this is how that they gave up this mental body, they gave up the attachment. And that's what we hear in these verses. They ran from all their attachments. That body that they had, that body that was the wife, the body that was the mother, the body that was the daughter-in-law, they became Ananga. That body ceased to exist. Ananga means no Anga. Ananga means without Anga, without body. Without body? No, body is eternal. Nitya Siddha, Deha. Every jiva has a Nitya Siddha, Deha. Jivera Swarupaya. Krishnera Nityadas. Jeev, one Bengali shloka. Jivera Swarupaya. The Jiva Swarup is not Indian. The eternal spiritual body of the Jeev is not Indian or American or French or Russian. It's as God is Nitya, then the body is Nitya. Nitya Bhagavan and Nitya Sevaka or Nitya Deha. Krishnera Swarupaya. Krishnera Nityadas. If it's Jiva's nature, his Jiva Dharma, his eternal constitutional nature is to love, serve, and desire to please and act for the happiness of God. That's our original, pure, immaculate identity, free from hankara and free from lust, anger, greed, all these coverings and koshas and coverings of the pure Atma. So then if he's Nitya Das and Bhagavan is Nitya, God is eternal, the Absolute Truth is eternal, then that jiva, jivera swarupaya, his swarup must be also nitya. This Indian body is not nitya, although we may want to make it nitya. Our American body is not nitya, it's anitya. As Gita is telling, anitya. This word is so much there in Gita, anitya. Ananga Vardhanam. So the gopis became ananga. So we were discussing yesterday, we entered into a discussion, the power of the material Ananga or Kamadev versus the power of the spiritual Ananga or Kamadev. Because we already defined yesterday that the material god of desire, material god of lust, the material god of material romantic love, we know how he works. He works with his five arrows of sound, form, taste, smell, and touch. So how does Krishna? He's also a god of love, spiritual love. He's a god of desire, spiritual desire. He's a god of intensity, spiritual intensity. Tivrena bhakti yogena, tivra bhakti. As a lust god, is a god of intensity. When one is infected by lust, he feels the intensity of the effect. Oh, now I'm very peaceful. And someone will attribute their shanti. Oh, my stars are in a good position. My moon is sleeping, or whatever they say. My moon is good, and this and that. And then sometimes, where is it? Why? How to get it? So this Kamadev, material Kamadev, creates lust, desire, and intensity. And so does Krishna. One simply sees the beautiful form of a man or woman, and then that sight of that rupam, meeting our eyes, the these sense, the indriya of ak, the ak indriya, or the eyes, then eyes capture that form. Oh, very nice. Very handsome, very beautiful and attractive. I want that. I want her or she. Want. And then it goes from there. So now we've discussed, in this verse it discusses Nashamya Gitam, the song, that pleasurable, satisfying song of Krishna's love call. Imagine you're burning life after life. You're burning in a fire, huge Lakri fire. And someone says, and you're trying, you're crying, please get me out of this fire. Please save me from this fire. I'm burning on all sides. My mind is burning. My head is hot. My heart is burning. My senses are agitated. Please give me some relief. And some people, they find there's different ways to find relief. So life after life, we're burning in this huge pot of burning, boiling oil called lust. And if someone comes and says, listen to me. I have some sound vibration for you. I can take you out of this fire of lust. Acha. How so? Listen to this Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Listen to this Bhagavad Gita Pat, Bhagavatam. Listen to my Nashamya Gitam. Listen to my sweet, comforting, satisfying song. Let that song of Shabda Brahman fill your ears and dance in your heart and purify your mind and soothe your aching, burning soul. This is Krishna. So that's the power of his sound vibration. It has the opposite effect. The spiritual comedy, when we contact Krishna's sound, which is Brahman, Shabda Brahman, then instead of increasing lust, it increases love. Instead of burning us with intensity, it becomes Nashamya, Nashamya Gitam, a very soothing, comforting flute sound, or the words of Gita, the words of Krishna's Leela, the words of the saints and sadhus and saints. They're very comforting and soothing. People often go to a class in Gita or Bhagavatam and they say, I feel so peaceful when I come out of the temple or hear a class. I feel relieved, some joy in my heart. The power of Krishna's sound vibration. So this is the whole premise that you can't give up a lower thing until you get a higher thing. Param dristva nivartate. When you see dristva, when you see something superior or greater, then nivartan, then you can easily drop whatever is in your hand. If you have a job and you're making 50,000 rupees a month, and then someone offers you for the same job which you're qualified for, I will give you 1 lakh if you come to America. Then you'll drop this job and go to America. There's a higher taste of more income. It's a natural, obvious, logical conclusion. So now, for us to give up the ananga and lust, we must have some greater input. Because now a man, the most powerful representation of ananga or kamdev for his ears, is not the sound of music, is not the sound of flute, is not the sound of his boss promising to give him a promotion or promising to give him a perk or increase in pay. Those are also sweet words. I like your performance. Your wage is just increased by 5,000 a month. That's nice, but it can't match the sweet words of his wife or his beloved. When she speaks in the ear and comforts him at the end of a hard day, it's all right. It's okay. And some sweet words, and then he feels relieved. So that's the Stri Vacha or the Admi Vacha. When the man speaks to the wife, the very convincing, determined, powerful, assurance of his words and the encouragement and support of his words, strengthening words, then the wife feels somewhat, yes, I can carry on another day with these 4 children or 5 children and all these difficulties in running the home and family. This way, sound vibration has a powerful effect in controlling our lives and moving us and making us crazy sometimes. So just see, when we turn to God, we need sound vibration to sustain ourselves. We need sound vibration to enthuse ourselves. And we need sound vibration to comfort and relieve ourselves. Krishna gives it all in his name. Ram Nam, Krishna Nam, or his fame, his yash, his fame, his name, his kirti, his leela, his qualities. Very, very powerful sound. And when one wraps himself around with that sound, oftentimes they describe stereo systems, quadraphonic or theater sound, wraparound sound, home theater. They have these arrangements for elaborate sound systems. So if we wrap ourselves around with Krishna Nam, Krishna's name and fame and qualities, always hearing Shabda, then we become soothed and relaxed and comforted and inspired, and we get energy to serve God and run to God, and we find satisfaction. People often ask the Atmaram Munis, the Niskinchan Sadhus, oh, you're a Kela, you live here alone, don't you feel bored? No television, no internet, no family, no, you don't even have a dog to talk to, no dog to befriend. No, we have God. We communicate, we hear the vibration of Krishna's Gita and Bhagavatam, and we hear the vibration of his holy name, and that does everything. Madaram, madaram, Gitam. Everything is so sweet. So one by one, this is what sadhana bhakti is all about, which I was mentioning yesterday. The bhakta or bhakt, he inundates and saturates his senses, his five senses, with the flower arrows of Krishna's mercy, with the flower arrows of Krishna's love and inspiration in the form of Krishna's sounds, Krishna's form, Krishna's taste, Krishna's smell, and Krishna's touch. Because we have these demands. If we have a material body, all these demands are there. We want to touch something or someone, hear something or hear someone's voice, and smell something or someone's body, and taste something or taste someone's lips or whatever, the taste of love. It's natural impulses of the conditioned soul. So Krishna is so merciful that he makes himself available on the plane which we exist on. We exist in the indriya, the plane of the senses and body. So he reaches down to us at the lowest level. We're not on the level of mind, manomaya, and meditation, and sense control. We're struggling with our senses. Prakriti stani karshati. We're struggling very much with our senses, controlling our tongue and genital and everything, our speech. So then Krishna extends himself with all that power, vardhanam. And the more we associate with Krishna's sound, his form, his taste, his touch, the more vardhan. Vardhan means increasing, fortifying, strengthening. The more our devotion, the more our attachment to God increases by leaps and bounds. And then we think, oh, I have no interest in material sounds. I have no interest in Gramya Gata and all the ordinary topics of the material world. People talk about families and governments and politics and sports and movies and fashion. A general discussion. I want to hear about God. So this one line describes the power of God's vibration. The Shamyam Gitam, Git. Gita means sound, vibration, singing, song, voice, words, instructions. In this case, the Gitam was the flute, the murali. And such a sweet message it was carrying. The flute was speaking, as we told the other day, Jiva Goswami's telling. The flute was speaking to Radharani. There was a message. There was words and voice in the flute, because Krishna's flute is transcendental. Oh, Radharani. The flute was entering Radharani's ears and saying, oh, Radharani. Krishna's flute was saying, I love you so much. Whenever I remember you, I feel the greatest bliss. And Krishna played his flute. And he called the gopis and entered their ears and became words. He said, oh, my darling, oh, my darlings, oh, my gopikas, please come and relish the nectar of my association. I very much miss you. So this is, Krishna speaks to us literally. And that speech of God moves us and satisfies us, impels us and relaxes us. Nishamyam, nishamya gitam. Nishamya. Why is the word nishamya there? It means something. It's a qualifier for the word git. Nishamya git. We can have pranaya git, pranaya prem git. So many we can have modifiers. So one by one, Krishna, so someone says, all right, you're describing how the power of aprakrita madan, the spiritual power of Krishna, his shabda, shabda raman, his sound vibration, what effect and what change and what new form and appearance and manifestation happens within me when I contact Krishna's sound. But what about my other senses? My other senses are demanding. Not only do I want to hear beautiful sounds, but I want to touch beautiful people, men or women. And I want to see them and satisfy my eyes with beautiful forms and colors and designs and movements. Oh, we have something for everyone. Krishna has something for every sense. Oh, you want to see beautiful forms? Then come to the mandir. And there's so many temples all over India where you see very beautiful, especially in Vrindavan, beautiful, most beautifully adorned and decorated forms of Krishna and Radha. Very attractive, beautiful flowers and ornaments and clothing and vesh. And the whole atmosphere becomes a feast for the eyes. Even the grossest, materialistic, most lusty man, if he has the piety to enter Vrindavan and see Radharaman or Radhabanki Bihari, he'll say, at least for those moments, oh, the Lord looks so beautiful. Banki Bihari looks so beautiful in a yellow outfit with his beautiful blackish complexion. Or he looks so beautiful in pink. Or now I go to see Radha Shyam Sundar. Oh, the flowers, the whole atmosphere is so beautiful. Then the next day he goes to Delhi and calls up his girlfriend. Hello, you're also very beautiful. I want to meet you. But nevertheless, in Vrindavan, when he saw the form of Krishna, the Murti Darshan, Sri Vigrahar Darshan, he said from his own mouth, oh, Radharani looks so cute, so beautiful. She looks like a British girl with her white cheeks and her little red kumkum or whatever. But they say, they glorify. Oh, yes, even the grossest, lustiest man or woman can admit Krishna and Balaram look so dashing, look so debonair, so powerful. I have my husband and so many romantic relationships, but I can appreciate the beauty. And that's exactly why Krishna appears in the Archamurti. To capture our eyes, to satisfy our eyes to see beautiful rupam. With our eyes, we want to see color and design and movement and form. Rupam in its various expressions. Eye is rupam. Ear is shabda. Nose is ganda. And rasam and sparsha. So eyes, if a lady just standing like this with some beautiful clothes, so it's colors and form. But she starts dancing, those beautiful clothes, then that movement creates more intoxication and attraction for the eyes. So ultimately, when one comes and sees the murtis of Krishna, he'll see their movement. That's Leela, Leela Darshan. From murti, he'll see Leela. So in this way, Krishna, he can come in your house, and every day you can dress him, do Shringar Seva, Archan, and then he appears so beautifully. We don't understand what it is that Krishna appears on one level to be made of marble or daru, wood, or ashtadhatu or brass, like a doll, like a figure. But as we dress the deities or we see the deities, people often say, oh, Radha Shyam and Vrindavan, they look like people. I feel like Krishna is looking at me. My mind is telling me that he's a murti, the mundane, the ordinary pious person who takes darshan. This is a marble murti representing God. But my heart is telling me, looks like a very handsome, beautiful man. And they take darshan of Radharani, they say, she's a very beautiful lady, very beautiful woman. Oh, wait a minute. She's only a murti. So is she only a murti or is she real? She obviously, to the eye of devotion, she's very real. She's actually there. Isham yagitam taranga vardhanam. Discussing Krishna's sound, his sight, so soothing, satisfying, purifying, and attractive for the eyes of the lusty, sore conditioned soul. Sore eyes of lust, burning eyes of lust. It's an interesting phenomenon. If one is ever being attacked by fires of lust, their eyes become very red. the white part of the eye becomes red for various reasons, but that's one of them. Intoxication from alcohol and also intoxication from greed, anger, and lust make the eyes red, and lack of sleep also for students and sadhakas that don't sleep. Babies never have red eyes. Did you ever notice? Anybody ever been a mother? Babies do not have, they have brown eyes, blue, green, whatever. And then white is white. Only when you grow up, your eyes turn red. Because then you learn about all the good things of this world. When you grow up, you learn about lust and anger and greed. That person, I can't stand that person. Everyone gets Muchakunda eyes. But they don't have any mystic powers, so they can't burn all the people. If everybody had the power to burn everyone they didn't like, there wouldn't be anybody on the planet. You would burn all the people you don't like, and all the people don't like you would burn you. That would be it. It'd be what they call a total burnout, which is an American slang, actually. Krishna's sight is satisfying, soothing, and ecstatic. So Krishna makes his form visible. He's not Ananga. God, can you show me God? People often meet a saint or a sadhaka or a practitioner of sadhana. Can you show me your Ishta Ram? Like Hanuman, he ripped open his chest and showed Ramchandra and Sita. He said, yes, I can do that also, but my wife wouldn't appreciate it if I rip open my chest and finish myself. Yes, I can show you God. Acha, yes, come with me. You go to the mandir and say, here is God. Because that's what someone did with me in 1974 in Los Angeles. And someone said, one of my friends, he said, you want to see God? I said, sure. How much does it cost? Do you have to pay? No, it's free. Acha. Where is he now? Is he starring somewhere? Is he appearing somewhere, giving some show or something? The God show? He said, no, he's in the L.A. ISKCON temple, Rukmini Dwarkadish. So we got on a bus, went down Venice Boulevard for about an hour. And then we got out and we went in and he said, there's God. I said, wow, beautiful. I rather enjoyed my first darshan of God. It was love at first sight, or at least interest and attraction. Something extraordinary. Someone extraordinary. So that's Krishna's prabhav for our eyes. Cupid is shooting arrows at our eyes to entice us and enchant us and tantalize us with various shapely forms of men and women. And Krishna is shooting his arrows of rupam at us in the form of shapely deities, Tribhanga Sham, Tribhanga Radha. Very attractive and shapely and moving and dashing and colorful and happy and smiling. And then, okay, I can contact God by hearing Shabda Brahman and purify my ears and fill my ears full of love for God. Fill my ears full of desires to love and serve God. Because the material Kamadeva, when he shoots his arrows of Shabda, that Kamadeva, that Ananga, that Kandarpa, when he shoots the arrows of Shabda in our ears, then we become lusty to hear material sounds. We become induced and driven to hear the sweet voice of a woman or the sweet news of the material world, which we may find so sweet. But that changes by the influence of Krishna, Shabda Brahman. Then sight. Sometimes people say, oh, I used to go to movies. We met thousands and thousands of people over the last so many years that have taken up Krishna consciousness. And they said, Swamiji, I don't like to go to movies anymore and see all the stars and all the nayaks and nayakas. I feel more happy and satisfied to go to the mandir and just see Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna have become my superheroes. They become my stars. I can't wait. I used to go to the movies every weekend, or once a month at least. Now, instead of going to the movies, I go to the mandir. And every time I go to the mandir, I see a new dress. And Krishna looks differently. Sometimes he smiles at me. He seems happy. And sometimes he frowns at me. He seems a little upset. And sometimes he's smiling at me. It seems like he's laughing or sharing a joke with me. I don't know how to explain it, but it seems that the Murti of Radha and Krishna, they're interacting with me and their rupam and their form, Divya Rupam, in a very personal, interesting way. This is the experience of a regular person, not a Niskinchan sadhu or a Mahabhagavat, a married man or woman. Hundreds I've met, if not thousands, but to speak of ourselves. And then, what about taste? Because, as you know, I'm an Indian, and we have so many kinds of food. And now we have so many of our own cuisines. And we have Gujarati cuisine and Bengali and South Indian and Punjabi and UP and Haryana and this and that. Many, many types of food and restaurants. Now we have all these other, we have so many other varieties of food to choose from. Without naming them all. And French and Italian. Has anyone heard of pizza pie? Some people have heard of that in India, pizza pie? No. Yes. And I think it's taken over the Indian palate. Pizza pie has conquered the Indian tongue. Ajit, Jiva Jit pizza. So many foodstuffs now, and this is all wonderful offerings of Kamdev, of the Anangavardhan. When we eat, he increases our lust to taste. How many people have only eaten one piece of pizza in their life? Raise their hand. Hardly anybody, except a Russian or two. But Italians, forget that. But Indians will raise their hands so many times. So that means Anangavardhanam Nishamyam Gitam. Now it's not Nishamyam Gitam, it's not Shabdam, but it's Rasam, the tongue, not the ears, getting stimulated, satisfied, enhanced, fortified, increased by exposure to the objects of taste. Lokik Rasam, food, ice cream, sweets. There's thousands and thousands of sweet shops in India. Ananga or ka means lust. It means craving. It means intense craving. I have to have it. I need it. If I don't stop in so-and-so shop and get some rasgullas, I think I'm going to die right now. There are Indian people like that. There are Russian people like that. There are American, everyone. Daddy, stop the car. The children say, why? I need ice cream. My dear Beta, there's no ice cream store for 25 miles. 50 kilometers away is the nearest ice cream store. Okay. 50 miles to the ice cream store. Here, Beta, take ice cream, lay low. Rasgulla, lay low. Gulabjaman, lay low. Rubbery, lay low. Rasmalai, lay low. Sweets. Mitai. So much crazy. That's one effect of Ananga Kamadev, the god of lust. Lust doesn't just mean man and woman. That's the epitome of the whole thing, man and woman. All the taste, all the form, all the smell, all the touch. Ananga Vardhanam. Vardhan. We know Govardhan. We don't know Ananga Vardhanam. And our Govardhan, our Giriraj Govardhan. Giriraj. Giri Govardhan Le Charan, Radha Krishna Ke De Charan. So our only shelter is Govardhan. He's called Govardhan because he increases the joy of the senses. In Sanskrit, the word go means Indriya. Indriya, senses. So when one worships Govardhan, he does Govardhan Prikkama, he does Puja to Govardhan, he does Seva to Govardhan, Jaro Seva or cleaning, or any type of Seva, or contact with Govardhan, then ever-increasing and expanding feelings of satisfaction, joy, fulfillment, and completion within himself or herself, that human being feels, because Govardhan is Sakshat Krishna. Varsana is called Brahma Parvat. Nandagaon, Nandishwar, is called Shiv Parvat. And Govardhan is called Vishnu Parvat. In the general Puranic understanding of Govardhan, Barsana, and Nandagram. But for the Vaishnav, for the worshipper of Radha and Krishna, Govardhan is Nathri, Sri Giridhari Nathri, Krishna. This Leela, Giridhari, holding up Govardhan Hill for 7 days. He's Sakshat Brajendra Nandan Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So Krishna, as I said, when you contact Krishna, the sound or the sight, you become satisfied and pleased and happy. So when you contact the sight of Govardhan in Vrindavan, Govardhan, da 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 da. They have so many songs about Govardhan. Giri Govardhan, Giriraj Tejishran, Tejishran, Giridhari Tejishran. Take shelter there, my shelter, your shelter. Anangavardhanam. So Kamadev, the material god of lust, is increasing and expanding our lust by sound, by form. So we're explaining how Krishna can remove that lust and turn the lust into love by his sound, and turn our lust for forms into love of God and intense desires, ever-expanding desires, anangavardhanam. Ananga means love or lust, material love or lust. But now that ananga becomes the aprakrita, aprakrita ananga, the spiritual ananga. Because Krishna's action or actions within our mind or heart seem bodiless. It seems formless. We don't see Krishna standing before us. We don't see him playing his murali and hearing his murali. We read Bhagavad Gita, which is Krishna sitting before us or standing. And we read Dasama Skanda, which is Krishna's Leela Sarup and Prem Sarup. And we chant Krishna's name, Bhajan, Kirtan, Nam Jap. And we experience Krishna's presence. It's Ananga. It seems bodiless and formless, but we experience it. Just like Ananga. Has anyone ever seen the form of Cupid? Has anyone ever seen the personality known as the god of lust, Kamdev or Ananga? No. Has anyone ever felt the effect, the bodiless one, the formless one? Everyone in the world has felt the effect, or they're feeling the effect right now, of Kamadev, lust. So the sound and the sight. Well, what about touch? Kamdev, Sparsha, he pushes a man to touch the soft, tender body of a woman, and pushes a woman to touch the powerful, strong, muscular body of a man. It's a very big demand, the sense of touch. People die for it, crave for it. We see in Veda, they describe different animals that lose their lives because of their uncontrolled senses. This is in 11th canto of Bhagavatam and other places. It's described that the patung, the butterfly, the moth, he can't control his eyes. He can't control rupam. He can't control rupam. So when that moth or butterfly, he sees a flame of a fire or even a light, a sulfur light or whatever, mercury light, he becomes so lusty, anangavardhanam, his lust, his greed, his attachment, his intense craving to relish that form, that rupam. What form? The form of light, jyoti rupam, the dazzling, dancing flames of the fire seem so inviting and so enthusing and alluring and seductive. He's being seduced by the flames of that fire. Wow, hey, baby, I want to fly with you. So he flies straight into the fire because of his uncontrolled eyes, which means of his inability to control his intense desires to enjoy rupam of this material world. And flying into the fire, khatam ho gaya. He's seared and burned to a crisp. He becomes a patang pakora. He becomes fried and roasted, but there's no batter. It's a dry pakora. Finished, annihilated, because he's not controlling rupam. And he hasn't feasted his eyes on the nayanotsava of Krishna sarupam, or murti rupam. Unfortunate living entity. Foolish, unintelligent, a simple insect, kita. But are we less? The crown of creation, human beings. We see one form, we go crazy. Just by rupam. That's how a man first goes crazy. Not by the touch of the woman that he falls in love with, because he hasn't touched her yet. Not by the sound of her voice, he hasn't spoken to her yet. Not by the taste of her lips, he hasn't kissed her yet. Not by the smell of her body or form, because he hasn't got close yet. I mean, the Gandha. But by the Rupam. The Rupam. Oh, it was, did you ever hear this expression? How did you get married, Mr. So-and-so and Mrs. So-and-so? It was love at first sight, which means it was lust at first sight. It was calm. I saw her and I saw that woman in college and I thought, wow, I must have her. I'm craving for her. I need her. I want her. No matter what it takes, I'm going to woo her and seduce her and attract her and convince her and make her mine. Ha. Then you try your best and you pray to Ganesh and pray to Shiva and everybody you can, even your grandfather. And then you give gifts and all kinds of nonsense and try to be nice and get close. Call on the phone, say, speak really sweetly. Hello, how was your day at the office? Oh, it's fine. How was yours? Oh, yeah. Are you busy? No, I'm not busy. Maybe we could meet in the park. Oh, yeah, I go there every evening. I take a walk. Oh, that's nice. I like this. But first, Rupam, as the Patang or moth, he dies because of his uncontrolled eyes. We die because of our uncontrolled eyes. And we have so much brain, so much cerebrum, cerebellum, 50 billion, 5,000 trillion brain cells. And we become as foolish and stupid as a Patang. A mudha, just because of uncontrolled eyes. And all of that can be stopped and controlled by seeing the beautiful form of Krishna and Radha and the Murti Rupam. Such beauty, such penetration, such prabhav, such satisfaction. If we open the doors of our heart to God, then we can open our eyes to receive His beauty. If we open the doors of our heart to hear God, then we can hear His Murali and His transcendental sound. But we have to open our heart, Sharanagati. If our heart is closed, then we can never see the beauty of Krishna. If our heart is closed, we can never hear the beautiful vibration of Harikatha or Bhagavad Gita Pat or Bhagavat Pat or Nam Kirtan, Nam Jap. Impossible. It begins with softening of the heart. Shraddha, Vishwas, Sharanagati. Krishna. Now another example, the five senses and the animal kingdom. That's sight. Sight means rupam, form, finished. Now what about gandha, saurabh, smell, fragrance? There is one living entity called makar, honeybee, bumblebee. His nature is that he has a very powerful nose. He loves to smell sweet flowers. Lotus, juhi, mogra, gulab, kadam. All very sweet flowers. Gardenia, Ratki Rani. Not Ratki, he's sleeping. Deen Karaj. All these beautiful flowers he likes to smell. So then he goes inside the lotus. And of course he drinks the nectar. And sometimes he takes some back to the queen bee, if he's a little generous, takes him back to the queen bee and distributes to the other folks back at the beehive. Or he drinks the nectar, it becomes intoxicated. And then he's in the main sense that he's driven by and compelled by is not drinking, not rasam, but gandha. And he just sits on that lotus flower at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 o'clock. And he's not aware of the nature. He's not aware of his surroundings. He's blind to his surroundings. He's blind to the setting of the sun. He doesn't even perceive that the very lotus flower that he's sitting in the middle of is gradually closing around him and engulfing him and surrounding him and about to smother him inside her petals. That unfortunate victim of his uncontrolled smell. Nose. He goes on smelling, and then with the sunset, the lotus flower closes, and the bee is inside. the bumblebee, honeybee, madukar. And after some hours, he dies. Lack of oxygen. The poor, unfortunate bumblebee who lost his little life trapped in the lotus flower. Mad. Ganda Ananga Vardhanam. His Ananga, his lust, his intense craving for smell and fragrance was increasing, Vardhanam, moment by moment, hour by hour, and eventually he lost his life. This is a lesson of Veda, Puran. Five entities lose their life because of their individual five uncontrolled senses. So some people are smellaholics. Some people are smellaholics. They're crazy about smells. They buy new perfumes every day and new hairsprays and new hair conditioners and shampoos and all kinds of things. Oh, that's so nice. And that's so nice. And pretty soon in their bathroom and their dressing room or bedroom, they have thousands of useless bottles of perfumes and things they tried for a week and chucked out and then just piled up for 20 years. This is people are crazy about fragrances, anointing their body and surrounding themselves with various mundane fragrances. They don't necessarily lose their lives, but they lose a lot of their attention that they could have placed on God. So now we go to taste. Remember all the sweets? Remember all the sweet shops? Remember all the pizzas and restaurants? How can you forget? You're an Indian. There's three things that are big in India. What are those three biggest things in India? Religion, eating, and making money. Now let's go to taste. Ras Swadanam. Which living entity, according to Puran as the example, loses his very existence, his very life, becomes annihilated and murdered and destroyed by uncontrolled tongue? Jiva Vegam, Krodha Vegam, Manasakrodha, Jiva Vegam, Manasakrodha Vegam. And sadhana, every yoga sadhana, Raj Yoga, Gyan Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, every yoga sadhana has yama niyam. And it begins with niyama, sense control, control the senses. This is the beginning. There's asan, then there's pranayam. There's yama niyama, which means sense control. Unless the senses are controlled and you become sattvic, you can't do asan. So first there's yama niyama, which means sense control, then asan. Because first you control the senses, then you can sit peacefully, because sattva-guna has come inside. And now you can do asan, and with the purpose of asan is to pranayam. Not control your five senses, but to control your sixth sense. Yama and niyama are performed and practiced by all yogis to control their panch indriya, nose, eyes, tongue, etc. And then asan. Without yama niyama, without creating a sattvic, sattvic ahar, sattvic vichar, then there's no asan because too much raja in the body. Then pranayam. Why pranayam? Okay, my basic senses are somewhat capped and under control. I'm sitting in asan, I do pranayam. Balance the chakras, balance the senses. Now, pranayam is to control the big daddy, the uparwala, and the uparwala lives up here in the brain, called man, mind, through mantra, through meditation. So then we control the mind by pranayama, the movements of the vritti, manavritti. And then when the mind is controlled by pranayama, why we're controlling the mind, then it's pratyahara. We withdraw the mind from going out to its objects of senses. In other words, we're sitting, our eyes are closed or half closed, we're meditating, doing pranayama. So we're not engaging our working senses or our enjoying senses. We're not looking at anything externally, touching, tasting. But our mind is going there. Just like when we dream, our mind isn't enjoying our senses. Our mind is enjoying. We're seeing, smelling, tasting. We dream about pizza and we taste it. We see it. So all the sense experiences are there in the mind. So the yogi, when he's conscious or unconscious, he has to pratyahara. He has to withdraw not the senses from their objects, because that's already done in pranayam, because you're not going anywhere. You're not eating, you're not speaking, you're not anything. He has to control the tendency of his mind due to sanskaras, the tendency of his mind to have the shape, distraction, to run out through the subtle channels of the senses. Because if he doesn't do that, if he's meditating and then some object comes in his mind, like he's in the house and he's meditating, his wife is moving here, preparing his tiffin or whatever, early morning meditating. And suddenly the form of the wife comes in his mind. It's called dikshep, while he's meditating. It becomes very prominent and he can't withdraw his mind from that subtle channel of the sense. Then he opens his eyes, what's my wife doing? Or the ears, you try to meditate on your japa. But the external ear has the internal ear pathway. The external ear and the internal ear pathway, internal sense pathway, and they go to the mind. Because the external sense objects only hit. They hit here. They hit the ears, tympanic membrane, whatever, the eye. Then it has to go from here to the mind for processing. So then he has his cell phone here, nearby, on silent. And he's chanting japa. And then a thought comes in his mind, a big shape, a distraction to hear. Has my cell phone rung? But it's on silent. But he wants to, so then he looks to see, oh, it has rung, but it's on silent. So he did not do pratyahara. His internal channel of hearing went out, disturbed his meditation, disrupted it, and he looked towards his cell phone. Oh, it's on silent. I did get a call. Hello? And that's called jap sadhana nasht. In Kali Yuga, it's very, very difficult to do meditation. Because after pratyahara comes dhyanam, meditation. Jap dhyan, jap meditation. So therefore, our acharyas, mahajans, and our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, meditation, jap dhyan, rup dhyan, lila dhyan, very, very difficult for the Kali Yuga people. Better we do nam sankirtan, not hari nam sankirtan. Many men together chant the holy names of the Lord with karta, mardanga, dolak, cymbals, flutes, or esraj, musical instruments, because it captures the sound and the enhancement and the variety in the rhythm and the tal. It captures us, our bodies, our hearts, and we can dance in elation. And then we can, with all that power and all that influence, and sankirtan means many people get together and meditate on the loud vibration with musical accompaniment of Bhagavan's holy name. Ram Nam Sankirtan, Sri Nam, Sri Hari Nam Sankirtan, Krishna Nam Sankirtan. Then it has good effect. We can capture that sound and get stay with that sound for hours after hours. Hare Krishna, changing tal, changing tune, changing rag, changing melody. Because we're people of change in Kali Yuga. To sit down for 10 minutes, practically, I challenge who can even do. Rajasic environment, Rajasic vichar, achar, Rajasic food, Rajasic ideas, Rajasic work. It's impossible to actually sit down and meditate. There's lots of false attempts to meditate for shanti, but that's not the purpose of meditation. Because I'm talking about yoga meditation. Gyan yoga, ashtanga yoga, bhakti yoga. So therefore, this little entity, we're talking about rasam now, taste. We're talking about so many restaurants. We can't control our taste. So now I want to eat all these kinds of foods, Indian cuisine and international cuisine, which they call continental. Let's go to a continental restaurant. Let's go to an Indian regional restaurant. Let's go to French, Chinese, Mexican, tortillas, burritos, etc. They have all these things, chips and that, fries and chips and all these things. But now someone says, my dear friend, please take Krishna prasad, because Krishna will capture your tongue. Krishna will satisfy your tongue. When you start taking Krishna prasad, Bhagavat prasad, pure vegetarian food offered to Ram, Krishna, Vishnu, then a new taste arises. Rasam ananga vardhanam. Bhagavat rasam, prasad, mahaprasad, mahaprasad rasam, ananga vardhanam. Ananga, lust, craving, intense attachment and desire to relish, not maya, or pizza, or ice cream, or apple pie, or burritos, or whatever, or any mundane thing of this world, ordinary food. Vardhanam, we have ever-increasing desires to have Mahaprasad, because we get the higher taste of Krishna consciousness. bhakti, contact with God, not through Nashamya Gita. Nashamya Gitam, Anangavardhanam. The gopis simply heard the shabda of Krishna. They had not touched Krishna. They had not tasted his lips. They had not directly seen him to their eyes' satisfaction. A glance here, a glance here, a glimpse from their window of the palace, a slight glance from between the kunjas as Krishna returned from Gocharan Leela. Not full-on sakshat darshan, or looking like lovers look at each other. If a man and a woman look directly at each other for a long enough time, they're in trouble. If they're both young and they're both lusty, which is everybody that's young and lusty. So therefore, the gopis never had that long look, that lasting look. Contemplation, dayatovishyam pumsam. Krishna says in Gita, from contemplation of the objects of the senses, one gets attachment. Oh, she's so nice. Can't take my eyes off. Oh, she's really nice. Oh, I like her. I get attached. How can I meet her? I want her. From lust, contemplation comes attachment. And attachment means renewed meditation, renewed thoughts. And then feelings. The thoughts are backed by feelings of I want, I need, I want to hold or have. And then comes lust. This is in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 59 and 60. Dayatam vishyam pumsam. Sangha sanjaya vijayate. It says that Sangha, when you associate with the objects of your meditation, the material sense objects, you get attached. Sangha, you get attached, you want association. So rasam, taste, swaranam. Oh, that bhog was bhut bhariya. Chakachak bhog. We had that's such a big feast we had at that wedding party. Oh, I had a bad belly for 3 days. I had to take this eno and this thing and that thing. And, oh, but I'm ready. I'm back in action. I'm ready for this weekend's wedding. So then you go to that wedding and chuck a chuck, and then you upchuck what you put down. Because in American slang, upchuck means to throw up or vomit. You say upchuck. So when you do chuck a chuck bog, then you upchuck. It's called translating between Hindi and English. Chuck a chuck, upchuck. Then your chuck that went down becomes chuck that comes up, and then it's not chuck, it's muck. It's muck and it's guck and it's like not a good idea. The yogi doesn't eat too much, Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita. Yogi's moderate. He's shamak. He's balanced. He doesn't eat too much or speak too much. He doesn't think too much. No, he thinks too much. He's balanced in his habits, his eating and everything. Oh, he's peaceful. Balance. The middle road. The Greeks always taught the middle road. Enjoy, but not too much. Balance. But when you have chuck-a-chuck and 50 chop-on-bog, maybe a little over the top. Well, after all, it was my brother's wedding. Come on. It was a time for festivity, and I ate, and I ate, and I ate. And now I'm suffering like anything. Paid bolo anande. Rasam, swaranam, restaurantam. Rasam, swaranam, restaurantam? I never heard this word. This Hindi word, restaurantam. Yes, restaurantam. Rasam, swaranam, restaurantam. French restaurantum for French rasam. We say, go to the Krishna temple. Take Krishna Mahaprasad. That great mercy. What's the greatest? Prasad means mercy, grace, kindness, blessing. What's the greatest blessing or mercy any human could ever get in his life? To receive a beautiful person to love you and give your love to throughout your life. Prasadam ultimately means great prasadam. Mahaprasadam means great love. We say Mahaprasadam means the greatest love. Because the greatest love, if you have a wonderful lover, wonderful wife or husband, you consider that's the greatest mercy of God. That's the greatest grace of God. The greatest kindness. To have someone that really, genuinely, sincerely loves you. Or that you can invest your love in. So that's what we go to the temple for. Mahaprasad means Mahaprem, Krishna's Prem. Because the Shastras are telling, what is Prasad? Is the Adhara Rasam? Is it Krishna Adhara Rasam? It is the Rasam, it is the Swaranam, it's Krishna's lips, the taste of Adhar Ras, Adhar Amritam. This Mahaprasad is told in Shastra to be not, it is not simply pakora, or halava. Oh, you, my wife makes halava, and the pujari makes halava. We offer it to, even to our gopal, maybe we just eat it, and they offer in the temple. But there's some extraordinary taste when I go to the temple, some very special taste. I eat halava in the restaurant. But when I eat halava in the temple, Mahaprasad halava, that is actually Mahaprem. It's full of the Krishna Adhara Amritam. It is the nectar of the lips of God. It is not Kamadev's rasam. Kamadev, the material Ananga, he gives us rasam. Rasam in the form of tasty foods. Rasam in the form of tasty lips. Adhara means lips. And Amrita means the nectar of, when we sing songs, oh, the nectar of my lover's lips. The nectar of her lips, his lips. When I kissed my beloved. This is considered in romantic situations or novels. It's used as some idea of happiness. Adhara Amritam. But now Krishna Adhara Amritam, which means alokik, transcendental, Divya Adhara Amritam, the taste of Krishna's lips. It's in Mahaprasadam. Jagannath Ji Mahaprasad, Srinath Ji Mahaprasad, Radha Raman Mahaprasad, Ram Ji Mahaprasad, Sri Krishna Ji Mahaprasad. A new life's experience, a thrill for the tongue, a bliss and happiness for the mind. This is Krishna appearing before us as rasam, swadanam, to capture our tongue. As you see in the next verse, grihita manasa, grihita manasa, that Krishna captured, he seized, he took over the gopis with only with shabda, with the sound of his flute, his murali nad, his jago kalam. That's the next line, grihita manasa, completely, fully 100% seize their mind. So any contact with Krishna, our mind can become seized and delivered. Mantra. Mantra to deliver the mind, free the mind. So Krishna's mantra is Mahaprasad. Krishna's food remnants is Mahaprasad. Krishna's Gita Vani is Mahaprasad. Krishna's Bhagavad Vani is Mahaprasad. Krishna's Krishna Bhaktas, Premi Bhaktas, Bhaktas Sadhu Sangha is Mahaprasad. It's all love. Mahaprem. The nectar, the ocean of bliss coming from the Lord's heart. So this shows three of our senses can be captivated. But what's the example I said in Shastra? Five living entities lose their lives. We heard about the honeybee losing his life for smell. We heard about the moth or the patang losing his life for the rupam and ganda. Now, what is the characteristic living entity, according to Puran, who loses his life according to Swad? The machli. Do you know machli? Machli means fish in Hindi. Machli. The fish, they get hooked. There's a line with a hook or a big net, maya jal. And the fisherman throws his net, but usually the analogy that the shastras are using is not net, but taste. Because the fish has eaten so much. God, Bhagavan, has made all provisions, Om Purnamadam Purnamidam, for living entities in the air, like birds, to get all their food. Living entities on the ground, like us, to get all their food. He's made arrangements for living entities inside the ground, under the ground, to get all their food. And Krishna has made arrangements for all the living entities in the water, in the lakes, in the rivers, in the oceans, to have their food. They don't need more, but because of anangavardhanam, rasa anangavardhanam, because the effect of lust, craving for more taste, more restaurants, more cuisines, continental and intercontinental and supercontinental and intergalactic restaurants. This is an intergalactic restaurant serving special moon food and Venus food, recipes from Venus. People go there like anything. Chasing her tongue, chasing for rus. So the fish, he has his fill. God has filled him up nicely. But the fisherman throws a hook and a line with a little tiny worm there, a little creamy. And then the fish is so happy and he's so full and he's swimming around, cruising in the water. Then he sees, oh, look at that tasty sweet, looks like Love Jamin. And I'm already full already. But let me look so nice. And he's dancing under the water and he's moving like this and that because the fisherman's moving his hook like this and like this. Oh, and so tantalizing my eyes and boy, it really looks good. Let me pull in and buy one. So then he goes tomp and he bites. He's pulled out of the water and he's fried. He's dead. He's finished because he could not control his tongue. Jiva. Rasam, that burning craving for tasting food. A man sits at home. He eats a very large lunch that his wife cooks for him. Very satisfying. Then he gets in the car and he goes back to work. And on the road, he sees someone frying up some aloe tiki. And he says, oh, I really like those. And the guy only comes here in the winter time. And I know I had a full lunch and I'm really satisfied, but it's all right. Life is to enjoy. Let me enjoy my tongue. Hey, driver, or whatever, pull over the car. Hey, give me five of those. Give me three. Yeah, put a little chutney, this, that, sauce, whatever. Blah, 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 blah. Ah. Then he comes home at night. And the wife makes nice dinner. And he says, no, you know, I'm not hungry. Because on the way after lunch, I had 10, you know, five aloo tikkis. And on the way back, I couldn't wait till I got home for dinner. So I stopped and had a pizza and a milkshake. So I'm really sorry. But all the beautiful puris you made and sabji and chutney and pakoras and kheer, and I'll take that maybe tomorrow. This is how it goes on. Because of uncontrolled tongue, you get in trouble with your wife or husband. Because of uncontrolled tongue, you take another birth. Because of uncontrolled tongue, you can kill yourself. You can die from eating too much, and people do. You can choke to death. You can just get too big and upset your whole system. You eat too many sweets, you get diabetes. You ruin your kidney functioning and liver. This is reality. So this is, but then we turn to Krishna and we take Mahaprasad and gradually we start saying, I like to go to the temple. There's something about this Govinda Prasad, Mahaprasad, this Krishna Mahaprasad. Too tasty. It's tasty, yes, but it's some extraordinary satisfaction. That I'm losing my desire to taste Kamdev, the material lust. In fact, I met a devotee at the temple. He said, sir, why don't you become vegetarian? And I said, oh, no, it's not so possible. It's like this. So then gradually he said, oh, you take some prasad here, take some Mahaprasad home and take some for your wife and for your children. I'm giving so much Mahaprasad. And after a few months, he comes back and says, listen, Krishna Das at the temple, I'm taking up your offer. I'm going to become vegetarian. Acha? How so? How did you change? I don't know. I just feel like maybe, I mean, my grandmother was a vegetarian, my great-grandmother, but, you know, modern times and way things are, go this way, that way. But now you've been giving me this Mahaprasad and maybe I should be vegetarian. So I became vegetarian, believe it or not. Well, what do you know? That's the power of the higher taste of Krishna Rasam. Krishna Adhara Amritam. Miracles, magic. We see it all the time. And anyone in the audience can experience the same magic. You want to become a vegetarian? Go to the temple and start taking Mahaprasad. I guarantee within some short time you'll become vegetarian. That's all you have to do. Just take Mahaprasad. And more than just becoming a vegetarian is that you'll become a prasadatarian. There's vegetarian and there's prasadatarian. What will happen then, because Krishna Das, as I mentioned, he's speaking with you and reveal how you became a vegetarian. Then later when you meet him again, he feels, well, this is a fertile field to speak to. So maybe he'll listen to my vani. So you say, listen, Mr. Vegetarian friend, why? I have a proposal. You like Mahaprasad so much and you're always coming here and we're saving some for you and making arrangements for you. And you see the change in experience. You feel happy when you take it. You're becoming a better person. You're happy for that. It's all the mercy of Bhagavan. Why don't you offer at your house all your food to Bhagavan? And then in your very house and in your very tiffin, in your office, in your house, in the car, you can have Mahaprasad, Bhagavat Prasad. Oh, I can do that. Yes. Oh, I don't have murtis, all this. No, no. You get some chitra, some tasvir, some picture of Sita Ram and Radha and Krishna, and you get some plate, some thali. You put your vegetarian bhog there, and you get some tulsi. Oh no, that's too much trouble now. Tulsi and this, that. I don't have a green thumb. I can't grow this tulsi. Okay. Anyway, you get the picture, you put the plate there. Then gradually he'll say, oh, maybe what I always get this tulsi leaf. Yes, you also put tulsi. And then he gets tulsi. Now he starts eating vegetarian food offered to Krishna in his own home by he or his wife or children. And he starts becoming a Mahaprasadatarian, which is much greater. Then he really becomes satisfied. Then he comes for a newest report to Krishnadas at the temple. Krishnadas, guess what? I used to stop on the roadside and eat this thing and that thing and snack here and snack there. Even on my belly, I was full up to my neck. I ate so much to my neck, akantapuriya. But still, I would stop and eat a little snack here and there because, you know, I like all these things. Like sweets, I like too much, or fries I like, or these type of things. So now, I don't even stop there anymore. I go to work, my tip, and I come home, I take prasad. I used to go every week to the restaurant, searching for, they say, oh, there's a new Vietnamese restaurant that just opened, serving God knows what. And now I'm going here, it's in the Chinese restaurant, and this and that, whatever they serve, you know better. But I don't go anymore. My wife still wants to go, but she's submitting to me. I stopped going to restaurants. Oh, that's very good. Save a lot of money also. So one by one, Krishna takes over the senses and he increases ananga. Spiritual ananga means intense craving, intense desires, intense energy and drive to love God, to have a romantic, intimate, personal, eternal relationship with Bhagavan in the form of Ram or Krishna or Vishnu. Especially Krishna, because he's so lovable. He's so attractive. He's so sweet and charming and mysterious and funny. He's a very attractive God. He's considered to be the most attractive by the Tattva Vedantis and teachers of Shastra. All attractive Krishna. So in this way, we conquer the material God of lust by associating and inundating our senses with contact with the spiritual God of love. The material God, Kamdev, or Ananga, becomes the spiritual God of divine love, surrender, and intimate eternal exchange of sweet, pure, sacred love. This is divinity in its fullest expression. Intimacy, sweetness, and personal love. This is Krishna and Radha. And all of us, if we follow that path of Radha Krishna Bhakti. Ananga is easily conquered, as we mentioned. Hearing the Bhagavat, hearing Ras Leela, conquers lust. Shadanvita, with faith. So let's go on and discuss some more points of this verse, 29:4. Nishamya gitam taranaṅga vārdhanam Vrajastriya Krishna grihit Manasa. Brajastriya, so Nishamyam Gitam, that very comforting, soothing song of God, that soothing contact. When one contacts Ananga Krishna, Ananga Bhagavan Sri Krishna, we say Ananta Bhagavan, Ananda Kanda Bhagavan, but there's Ananga Bhagavan, that bodiless one. You don't perceive or see God until you're Shud, or full of purity and prema, then you have Sakshat, Bhagavat Sakshat Darshan. You can see Bhagavan Ram or Krishna before your very eyes by his divine mercy. With these eyes, you get Divya Chakshush. As Arjuna got Divya Chakshush to see God, his friend Krishna became God. He was looking at his friend, his Saketi, his Saka, Krishna, eating together, sleeping together, riding together, shooting arrows, and joined together his friends in Dwarka and Hastinapur. Now he's going to see God. Viratarup, Narayan, Bhagavan. He has to have some special goggles, some 3D glasses. It's a 3D movie. It's not 3D, it's 4D. What is 3D? Three dimensions, length, width, and depth. What's 4D? 4D is length, width, depth, and consciousness. The fourth dimension is consciousness, chit, chinmay. So he's going to he has to put on four-dimensional 4D glasses to see the movie of Ratarupa. And Gita says, Krishna says, Arjun, I will give you Divya Chakshush, divine eyes by which you will see God. Sakshat Darshan of Viratarup is Vishnu, Aishwarya Bhagavan. Similarly, by the mercy of God, a Premi Bhakta, a Siddha, Sant, by the mercy of God, he'll be given Divya Chakshush. His eye will be able to see that Chinmoy Sarup of the Lord. This is a material eye, but now it's Premanjana, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, Santaksadev Riyesha Vilokayanti, Yam Shama Sundaram Achintya Sarup Guna Sarupam, Govinda Mani Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Krishna, when the prema comes in the eye, one gets bhakti vilochan, that specialized eye of devotion that's colored and anointed with love, divya, alokik prema. And then with that eye of love, which is that love itself, prema is a gift of God. Prema through Krishna places that prema in our hearts so he can relish our expression and our offering of that prema back to him. He is the source of prema. He fills our hearts with it. And then with that filling of prema, then we offer our love back to God. And shud shravan and shud kirtan. And shud everything pure and saturated with love. So he gives us the divine eyes. And then we can have sakshat darshan. But before that, the sadhaka experiences Krishna as the bodiless one, as the formless one, as ananga. Krishna becomes formless because satisfaction is formless. Peace is formless. Love is formless. Ananga, bodiless. But when we contact Krishna with our ears and with our nose and eyes, his form, we become satisfied. Santosh. Prasanatma. Brahmabhuta prasanatma. Nasochati nakankshati. Samasarveshu bhuteshu. Mad bhaktim lavate. Mad bhaktim. My devotee becomes prasanatma because of contact with my rasam, my rupam, and my Ganda, my Sparsham. So now we're discussing how Krishna saturates our tongue, he saturates our eyes, he saturates our ears. Now what about Krishna Ananga, before we go to the next line? How does Krishna saturate and captivate Grihita Manasa? Grihita Manasa, this next line, Brajastriya Krishna Grihita Manasa. There's Brajastriya. The Brajastri can be considered Nityabhata Jivas, conditioned souls like us, the sadhana siddha gopis. They were Rishicharis, Municharis, and so many other categories. And their previous Purva Janam, they did so many austerities to take Gopi Rupam, Gopi Janam, in Krishna Leela, Boma Vrindavan, Maharaj. So some gopis were sages and rishis, the Shruticharis. Now they have Gopi Sarup. So Krishna's going to call them Brajastriya, but they were conditioned souls. So Brajastriya means the Nitya Siddha Gopis and the Sadhana Siddha Gopis, Brajastriya, then Krishna. Then what happened? Grihita Manasa. So that Krishna, Grihita Manasa, forcefully captured, captivated, and stole and took their minds away from everything. Grihita Manasa. Whose mind? The sadhana, the sadhakas. Whose mind? The siddhas. The Nitya Siddha Gopis and the Sadhana Siddha Gopis. So that happens. Krishna takes away our mind also. We lose, as I already outlined, in this three senses and three objects of our senses, how Krishna seizes our attention and captures and steals our attention away from restaurants and steals our attention away from rock and roll and mundane sounds and fills our ear full of Harikata and satsang and mantra and mala and prarthana and pat and satisfaction. So what about the sense of smell? We heard about how a living entity loses, but how does Krishna, Grihita Manasa, how does he capture our mind, which runs out to our nose to enjoy sweet fragrances, which I told already, the analogy of hundreds of perfumes and fragrances, et cetera, colognes and perfumes. And it's an unlimited industry. It's a multi-zillion dollar industry, fragrance, is it not? Multi-zillion dollar industry, just one sense. to satisfy one uncontrolled sense of men and women in this world, a zillion-dollar industry has arisen. Artificial synthetic aromas and fragrances and quote-unquote natural fragrances and quote-unquote original, which is all chemical. A natural fragrance, you go in the forest, you smell a lotus, that's a lotus. When you buy lotus perfume or lotus oil, that is not natural. Natural means in God's nature, created by God as it is. That's the only natural thing. Everything else is unnatural. Bakar. They can write anything on it. Natural, pure oils, pure scent. It's purely cheating. But it's Kali Yuga, so there's many cheaters and cheated. Now fragrance, the asli, original fragrance, it's Krishna. Where does fragrance originate from to begin with? What is the origin of fragrance, Saurabh, Ganda? Krishna says, God is the origin of fragrance. But then how does he present fragrance and Saurabh to the world? The source of fragrance, aroma, Saurabh, and Ganda in this world is Bhumi, earth. Krishna says, I become the earth and supply rasam. It's in Bhagavad Gita. All fragrances and scents have their origin in the earth. And from there, they go to factories and synthesized and mutated and chemicalized and mesmerized and packaged. It says, Ganda, says, Bhumika Ganda Asmi. Krishna says, Bhumika Ganda Asmi or Asmaka. He says, I am the fragrance of the earth. Fragrance, Saurabh, Ganda. In other words, trees come from the earth, not the factory. One piece of earth, one small patch of earth, 20 feet by 20 feet, you can have 100 different fragrances there. 100 different fragrances in 10 meters by 10 meters. Jui fool, Mogra fool, Gulab fool, Gendak fool, so many flowers. And they all have a common origin, God. And his expansion is earth. So earth is the origin. So why not go right to the source? If you want money, go to the richest man and ask him. If you ask the people in the factory for 20 crores, you may be unsuccessful. If you ask the owner of that factory for 20 crores, you may be successful. That'd be a very rare day. So we're trying to settle for artificial, natural, natural-like, natural almost-like, and nature-like, and all kinds of jargon and propaganda that they brainwash everyone with. Why not go right to the earth? Why not go right to God and get the original, as it is, pure, 100% natural scent, Saurabh? Because when we do that, then we won't be interested anymore in artificial, synthetic, chemical fragrances, irregardless of the false packaging. How do you smell God? How do you satisfy your intense desire to smell? You can imagine if you smell Krishna or smell Radharani's form, transcendental form, you'll never buy another bottle of perfume again. You'll never buy another bottle of cologne again. You'll never waste a penny for all these useless chemical scents and fragrances and BO and this O and that O and SO and so many O's. Because your desire for wonderful fragrances will be fully satisfied, and that desire will increase more and more. That Saurabh, that Ganda Ananga Vardhanam, that intense craving and drive and pushing to smell newer and newer fragrances and perfumes, Ananga Vardhanam, that Ananga, that lust, that craving, to Vardhanam, ever different ones. Does any woman buy a perfume when she's 18 and she uses the same perfume for her whole life? Highly doubtful. Otherwise, there would be no industry at all in the world. Industry, the cosmetic industry, and industry in general, the consumer industry, is based on Chanchal Man. Chanchal Man and dissatisfaction. The chanchal man, the wayward, fickle mind, can never be satisfied, no matter how many thousands and millions of perfumes, how many thousands and millions of restaurants, how many thousands and millions of lovers and sensations. Impossible. As many times as you fulfill your mind's desire, your mind makes 10 desires, you fulfill them, and your mind makes 10 more, makes 100 more. Your desire factory will always outproduce your fulfillment factory. The desire factory. Desire factory. So we have one factory called desire factory. And we have another factory called fulfillment of our desire factory. So which one is winning the race? The desire factory sits in our brain, our mind. Our mind is cranking out desires like 10,000 desire products every hour. Very productive factory. Unfortunately, the other factory we have at our command and under our control is called the fulfillment, desire fulfillment factory. And that production is falling way short of our desires. I desire this clothes and that clothes and this clothes, but my fulfillment factory is only giving me 100 rupees to buy one piece of clothes, and I want to buy 5 pieces of clothes. My fulfillment factory, also known as my husband, I ask for 10 new saris. I ask for 10 new saris from my desire production factory. But then my husband, the fulfillment production factory, says, no, I will give you money for 1 new sari. Have you heard this before? So whether we have a husband or wife or our own money, I'm an independent person. I have my own job. But are you independent of your desires? The lady's working as a secretary. She's making 80,000 rupees a month. So she can have she has 80,000 rupees to fulfill desires. Unfortunately, she's earning 80,000, but every month she has 120,000 rupees worth of desires. You follow the logic? So she's in the red. She's bankrupt. So this is the problem with material sense objects and the attempt to fulfill them. You never reach the end. You never find santosh. You never find shanti, but we keep running. Running, running, feverishly, passionately, madly, fastly, running after our eyes, running after our nose, running after all of our sense organs. So this is fragrance. So we mentioned how the bee loses his life. Because the bee didn't smell Mahaprasad garlands. So there's also, Krishna has so many fragrances. How do you smell God? How do you contact the fragrance of God? We have to go where God is. How do you smell the fragrance of your wife's body? You have to be where she is. If she's in Moscow and you're in India, you can't smell your wife's fragrance of her body or perfume or whatever you're perceiving. So you have to come together. You go to the temple and they give you one garland, Mahaprasad Mala. Oh, it feels so nice. It looks so colorful. Very intricately made. Very intricate design, especially these garlands in Radha Shyam Mandir. So much devotion, so much thought. Oh, yes, your friend says. I live here in Vrindavan. You're from Delhi. These garlands are not purchased outside from the Malawalas. These garlands are made by the Bhaktas here in the Radhisham temple. Oh, sure. Yes, it looks very intricate and ornate and they're very fat and they're long. Must take long time. Yes, it takes 3 hours to make one garland for Shamsundar. Oh, sure. Wow. Are they getting paid? They don't get paid. This is free service. This is love. Does your wife pay you to serve her? Do you pay your wife to serve you? My wife, you smiled at me. Here's 100 rupees. So no, these garlands are made by the bucks, by these ladies and gentlemen. They make these garlands. Oh, they're so beautiful. So colorful. I'm enamored. My eyes are satisfied by the design, the color, the shape. Oh, it smells so divine. Wonderful. Oh, so gardenias and magnolias and gulab and so many flowers. Oh, what a feast for my nose. This is really anangavardhanam, ever-increasing pleasure with every smell and fragrance. You're smelling God. You're getting the prasad, the mercy of God, and your nose is becoming disinterested in other things. And then if you're very fortunate, then the pujari might say, sir. And then he gives you some little piece of cotton, and it's dipped in some fragrant oil, very costly and wonderful oil. It's called ittar. Ittar, sent, we say in English, sent, Thakurji sent or Thakurji itar, Sogandhi, some cotton dipped in, little piece offered to the Thakurji with the flower together. For his, like Krishna goes, whoops. Krishna goes like this and like that, and then Radharani goes like, They smell nice for each other. Then they say, oh, listen, we smell good. You should smell good too. Because Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he's a sharing God. He's a giving God. Other gods take worship. They take puja and they give boons and benedictions. But Krishna takes love and gives love. And if you want a boon or benediction, you go to the banker gods. There are many banker gods. You do banking with them. Deposit and withdrawal. They're called banker gods. You make a deposit with Vaishnavi and you draw back. Or Balaji is a very big banker god. In fact, when you go to the temple, there's a bank right on the Mandir premises. State Bank of whatever. So when you want to give a donation, you don't give it to the Bajari. You don't put it in the hundi box. You go to the bank, because I've been so many times to Balaji, at least 5, 6. You go there and you might make a donation. You give it to the banker, a regular bank office of a bank, you know, regular bank. And then he gives you a receipt. It says, deposited 5,000 rupees in Sriman Balaji Thakurji's account. 9108108108. That's his account number. So I said, wow, this is quite an astounding arrangement. So, but the idea is that you put in, you go to Balaji and you say, look, I'll give you 5 lakhs, banker gods. And you bless me that my business makes 100 lakhs. I'll give you 5. If I make 100, then I'll give you 50. And like this, it's called banker gods. You do puja, you do worship because you want to get some return. But Krishna, he only gives love in return. And that's the most valuable asset anyone can ever have. Most valuable wealth and greatest nidhi and treasure is to have love. Not mundane, ordinary, temporary, limited love, which is finalized by time, space, and circumstance, but eternal, unlimited love, which expands at every moment. Vardhanam, Vardhanam, Vardhanam. Krishna Prema, Vardhanam, Vardhanam, Vardhanam. Bar, bar, Vardhanam, bar, bar, Vardhanam. Moment by moment, time by time, that love expands within the heart. From a seed-like plant to an encore, a sprout, to a stem, to leaves, to branches, and finally, flowers and finally fruits, the fruit, Prem Phal, Krishna Prem Phal, the final fruit of endeavor and service and loving offerings to God. We can satisfy our intense craving for fragrances and smell by we receive that Sugandhi or that Ittar from Thakurji. Then Krishna is so kind. Most people don't know this secret. I'm going to tell you a secret about anatomy. Many of you have studied medicine. And many of you have studied anatomy. I also have. So you know about human anatomy. The ak, the khan and ak, muk, eye, mouth, ears, and the internal skeleton structure and skin and bones, etc. But Krishna, out of his kindness or his bhaktis, when you surrender to God, he tells you something special. When you surrender to God, Krishna whispers in your ear, that same ear, and he says, I've given you a special facility, and no one knows about this except my devotees. Your ear has a special facility that everyone's ear has, but this advantage facility is undiscovered to the non-devotional ear. The non-Krishna Bhakta, the atheist and Gnostic, he doesn't know that his ear has this special facility or physical arrangement. What is that? It sounds amazing. All the doctors of the world, please listen to me. All the anatomists of the world, all the surgeons, there's something very unique and special that God has given us. And he hasn't given it to the elephants or the squirrels. He's given it to man. And there's a little pocket. There's an ear pocket. You know, a jabe? You know, jabe pocket. There's a little pocket inside the human ear that's reserved for ittar. It's an ittar jabe. It's a pocket reserved for the Mahaprasad scent or aroma given by God. So when the bhakta gets that, he puts it in his ear. Right? You didn't see it. You didn't see it. But if you were near me, you could smell it. And this is called kus. You know kus? Kus kus. It's natural, made from ru kus. Ittar. Kuskus. Colorful, fragrant, soothing and satisfying. And the effect of cuscus, it's cooling for the brain. Some fragrances are called aphrodisiac, like kasturi or patchouli. You smell them, you become a little bit romantic, hot. You start to move in the wrong direction. But when you smell kapoor sugandha or kaskas sugandha, you become cool. Everyone knows kaffir is cool and cooling to the brain. So kaskas is cooling and not doesn't smell like a chemical like kaffir. Very nice. So Krishna Bhagavan has made a little pouch in the human ear, a little jade, to stash this sugandhi. So your boss doesn't see it and no one sees it because it's ananga. It has no visible body. It's invisible. It's intangible, but it's perceivable. You can't see it. You can't touch it. But do you smell it? Yes. You smell so good. That you're smelling Krishna, not me. Well, what kind of cologne do you have, Swamiji? I have Krishna cologne. Oh, Mataji, oh, madam, you smell so fragrant. What, you have some special French perfume? Did your husband break down and spend 10,000 rupees and buy a bottle of original French perfume? Are you kidding me? I went to the temple, and the pujari gave me some ittar. See, look. Acha, hiding inside your ear. Yes. Bhagavan has gave a special pouch to hold his mercy. He's given a special place, a hiding place, to secretly put his influence. The primary hiding place for God, which he has placed in everyone's heart, is the heart. The Hriday Mandir, the Guyam. That Krishna, if we open our heart to Krishna, like Hanuman, Dasyarathi Hanuman, he opened his heart, mind, and life to Ram and Sita. And they moved into his heart, and they lived there eternally, receiving his love and his seva. And he showed that, he proved it. So the ultimate pouch, the ultimate resting place for Krishna is within our very hearts. And although when he enters our hearts, we can't touch Krishna in our heart, he's intangible. We can't see him, he's invisible, untouchable. He's intangible and invisible, we can't see him. But we can perceive him. He's ananga. The presence of God in someone's heart is not visible. They see, oh, there's someone. He's a grihast. He's a businessman. But God or businesswoman, they may be fully present in that person's heart. They have no long beard. They have no robes. They have no all these accoutrements of a sadvi or a sadhu. But God is hiding in their heart. Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. In Purana it says that Dharma personified, the tattva darshan of Dharma, the perception of Dharma, the form of Dharma is in the heart of the premi bhaktas. Nihitam guhayam, guhayam, that secret cave and core of the heart, Krishna is residing there. And when that devotee, Krishna bhakta ram bhakta, businessman or businesswoman, professional person, when they speak, or when they act, then you understand, oh, this is a Ram Bhakt. This is a Krishna Bhakt businessman. Krishna's in their hearts. Something different. So this is when we smell the sugandhi of Krishna, then we give up all these perfumes and we're mad to run to the temple to get the latest ittar. And then we even go and buy, we're so much enamored, we buy some beautiful natural oils and scents and we offer them to Thakurji. Without any motivation, I will buy very costly oils and I'll offer to the Thakurji for his pleasure. If he gives me some prasad, well and good. But I know that if, simply by giving him for his pleasure, Thakurji's pleasure, some wonderful sugandhi, that automatically he'll satisfy my senses internally. That craving, that mental craving, that manasa, grihita manasa. I'm seized by the desire for fragrances. Ask any woman. They're so much driven. Their minds, grihita manasa, means their minds are seized and controlled by continual desires for newer and newer fragrance. It's a special characteristic of women in general. Who buys the most perfumes and colognes and all these things? It's not the men. They buy one thing and they use it for 100 years. Chago Kalam, the deer, the mriga. The mriga, the deer, the forest deer, the spotted deer, the black deer, so attractive, so gentle, delicate, and graceful in the movements. Such a gentle, beautiful face of the female deer. Beautiful, glistening, moist, comforting, soothing, peaceful eyes. Pleasure to look at. But they have a problem, big problem. Not that they want to eat grass everywhere. Oftentimes, deer just stand there. They have their fill of grass and they're peaceful. They're not munching all the time, munching grass. But they cannot control their ears, shabda, desire to hear music. I like music. I love music. Have you ever met people like that? Are you a people like that? The very clever, ill-motivated human being who is a mrigari, a killer of animals, mrigari, a killer of deer especially, the deer cannot control his excessive attachment to the sound vibration. The Adivasi meat eater, hunter, he knows this weakness of the deer. So he utilizes it to capture and to kill the deer and destroy the deer for his purposes. He plays the flute. No matter how deeply camouflaged and hidden in the protective forest is the deer, when he hears the venonad, the flute of the hunter, he can't control his mind. That sound, that shabda ananga vardhanam, the shamya gitam ananga vardhanam, that sound of the flute of his murderer, of his death, of the hunter, he cannot resist it. He cannot deny it. And as he listens more and more, his ananga, his shabda ananga becomes greater and greater and greater. Vardhanam, it increases. Moment by moment that the flute player plays a song, my grandfather warned me about this. The flute will be my demise. The flute will be my demise, my death. But I cannot control myself. In fact, this shabda ananga vardhanam, this intense desire to hear the sound of the flute, I know it's my death, or maybe they don't, usually they don't. It's increasing so much, now it's actually increased to such a potential, such a pitch that it's totally seized my mind, captured my mind. Grihita manasa, Brajastriya Krishna Grihita manasa. It's not Krishna Grihita manasa, it's Kamdev. It's uncontrolled lust and craving that's grihita manasa. Totally seized and captured the deer's mind with one sense, shabda. He runs out, he shot the hunter's arrow and killed just because he could not control his ears, shabda. And I already explained how we can control shabda by Krishna's sound vibration. You meet many people that love music and they buy so many kinds of CDs and video CDs, audio CDs, and they have big stereos and headphones and in their car elaborate sound systems. And if they have the money and wraparound sound everywhere, sound, sound, sound. Grihita manasa. Now finally touch. Sparsh. First a man touches a woman with his eyes. That's also touch. I had a very touching experience. That we have phrases like that. That woman really touched me. When I met her, I was really touched. Means that our lust, ananga, was vardhanam, increased and enhanced by touching the form, or especially face and form of that woman with her eyes. Touch. So the beginning of touching a woman or a man is through the eyes, touching with our eyes. When we touch with our eyes, it creates desire in the mind. just by touching with the mind, touching with the eyes, rather, just by touching with the eyes, by glancing at a handsome man or beautiful woman, then ananga vardhanam, sparsha ananga vardhanam, that enhances, inflames, increases, vardhanam, the desire, ananga, that intense lust and craving to fully touch that woman or man, embrace, caress, fondle, have, hold, and even marry or marry. So powerful is the sense of touch. We are touching each other with our eyes. It was a very touching experience. It was a very touching lecture. He didn't touch me, but it's a phrase in English. It was a very touching movie. Have you ever heard this phrase? I cried so much, it was very touching. Usually an emotional, this is English, maybe you all aren't familiar, but a very emotional, romantic movie with a sad ending, or the hero died, or whatever, terrible ending. Oh, it was a very touching movie. It was a good message. It was about nature and ecology. It was very touching. I have to do something, improve my life. Touching, so obviously the greatest object, the greatest sense object of touch, which bewilders and totally seizes the mind of a man and seizes the mind, grihita manasa, is the rupam of woman and man. Just touching with her eyes, then it excites vardhanam, lust and desire and craving in the heart and mind to have more touch. And we have phrases in the modern world. Let's keep in touch. Have you heard this phrase? Let me have your cell phone number. Let's keep in touch. Well, there's a lot of Freudian psychology in that phrase, because everything we speak has an external and internal meaning. There's a psychological implication, romantic implication, business, so many things. Egos in your speech, your envies in your speech. So many things are mixed up in speech, which most people don't even perceive. You can speak in a way that's envious. Oh, she's okay. But the way you're saying she's okay is that you can detect the envy. He's nice. You can say, he's nice. He's nice. The intonation, the inflection, the emphasis, even without changing the words, means, oh, I met this really nice person, a man. And a woman says that. Then you know they're lost on some level. So just see the psychology behind our everyday expressions. Your great-grandfather never would even talk to a woman in the public. Your great-grandfather would never, your great-grandfather would never converse with an unrelated woman in the public. Times are different. If he did, he would never say, let's keep in touch. Let's trade cell phones. Let's keep in touch. Yeah, let's keep in touch. I touched you with my eyes. You touched my heart. It was a very touching experience. Now I want to touch some more. So let's keep in touch. Literal meaning. Because in every phrase, there's a little implied meaning, the literal meaning, and so many meanings wrapped up. So men and women want to keep in touch in the modern world to maybe, in a lot of cases, have some illicit relationship. These phrases were never used. Even when men and women were moving together in a business place, they never said, let's keep in touch. They said, I'd like to give you a call. We call it slang. It's actually from America, recent America, within 30 years. But I'm an American from 60 years. And in our society, men and women mix freely. So we would never say, let's keep in touch. You say, what's your home number? We only had home phones. I'd like to give you a call. And then this thing, keep in touch. And now there's so much touching going on outside of marriage. Isn't there a lot of touching going on and a lot of abortions as a result of misdirected illicit touching? Big time. So uncontrolled touch. First the eyes touch, then ananga vardhanam. Just by touching the form of man or woman with the eyes, then that ananga, that lust to enjoy man or woman, burns like a fire. It starts as a deepam in the heart and becomes a bonfire, becomes a raging forest fire of lust. Ananga vardhanam increases more and more and more. And then our mind gets seized, grihita manasa. So the gopis heard Krishna's flute. They heard his flute. And then increased her desire to serve Krishna, increased her desire to please Krishna, increased her desire to do anything to make Krishna happy, and increased their selflessness and increased their detachment from everything around them. They became ananga. That was the effect of Krishna's sound. And what to speak of. So, but when we see we have some, or sparsha, desire to sparsha, to touch, and then comedy, the material comedy enters our mind and heart. It increases our selfishness, increases our tendency to exploit, and makes us more attached to our body and the body of the one we want to touch, and more attached to our money and our society. Pumsas triyamatuni bhavametam tayor mito ridya grantamahu atogriya kshetrasu tattvidhara janasya moho yamaham mameti. In Bhagavad Puran, in Panchama Skanda, fifth canto. When man and woman combine, pumsas triyamatuni bhavametam tayor mito ridya grantamahu. When man and woman combine, it all starts with a glance. A glance. Touch with the eyes, then you're really out of touch. Sometimes people touch with the eyes. Hey, where's so-and-so? He fell in love with so-and-so, and I don't see them anymore. I lost touch. He got in touch with her, and I lost touch with both of them. They eloped. They ran away to Europe and got married. They really got in touch. When they got in touch, they dropped out of sight, and I lost touch. So this verse is telling that when one gets in touch with the opposite gender, then so many complications, so many attachments expand, that kamde, material lust, increases attachment, not detachment like the gopis. You become more bodily conscious, become more anga, because janasya mohoyam ahamameti, this is the byproduct of being attached to man or woman. You start thinking, aham, I am husband, I am provider, I am protector, I am this, I am that. And she is my wife, and it's my house and my children. I and mine, everything I and mine. So the effect of material kamadeva is opposite the effect of spiritual kamadeva. The effect of the god of lust is the opposite of the effect of god of love, as everyone knows. So touch, uncontrolled touch. And the example of that in the animal kingdom from Puran is the elephant, the hati. So powerful, king of the jungle, sometimes defeats the lion. Usually the lion defeats him, but sometimes that's why the lion challenges him. Sometimes the elephant picks up the lion with his trunk and flips him, and he lands on his neck and breaks it. The elephant defeats the lion if he's aware. So the lion attacks secretly and jumps on his back and bites his neck. But straight on, then it's dangerous. He can lose if he's a stupid lion. There are a few stupid lions also. The powerful king of the jungle, the elephant, the symbol of power, the symbol of royalty, the very symbol of Bharat Varsha. Isn't it? No, it's lions, excuse me. It's the lion, Singha. Teen Singha. But Singha and lion, but kings ride on elephants, not lions. Right? And the king's wealth is measured by how many elephants he has, not how many lions. So now the elephant, he has although he's so powerful, and it's so famous in the whole jungle, the whole animal kingdom, the elephant, everyone runs. When he walks, everyone runs and bows down, moves out of the way when the elephant comes. But he can't control his sense of touch. He wants to touch the Padmini with his trunk. He wants to wrap his trunk over the female elephant, the pucky, the pachyderm. In Latin, the elephant is called pachyderm. He wants to touch his spouse or his consort, irresistibly so. How do you think they catch the king of the jungle and put him in the Delhi Zoo or the Brooklyn Zoo or the Moscow Zoo? They go out there and say, come on, we're taking you to Moscow. Do you want to go? Yeah, let's go. They have to capture him. They have to catch him. How do they catch him? With a sense that he can't control, his sense of touch. They dig a big pit in the forest, his natural habitat. They dig a big hole. Bigger than an elephant, too deep to jump out. Elephants don't have much jumping power. Elephants can't jump like a rabbit or a deer. They're pretty heavy objects. And they don't run very fast. So they make a big hole, and they cover it over with banana leaves and all kinds of things, and little sprinkled dirt, everything. And then they get some female elephant in heat. She's in season. And she's walking through the forest. They bring her to where that male, that bull elephant, male elephant is hanging out or staying, like in the club, in the gym, wherever he may be. Wherever that bull elephant is staying, he may be sitting in the gym, and then they'll bring that female there. Then, oh, forget the weights. I have to build my body. Oh, 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 oh. forget that. I want to build this body. I want to meet this body. So then the elephant, the female, runs. And then that powerful king who has so much discrimination is so careful and wary. He lives for 100 years, 150 years in the jungle, avoiding the predators, avoiding the lions, combating them. He's very careful, always watching. He has huge ears. He can hear everything, can remember everything. He sees a lion. He remembers that lion, how he moves. And so he's very aware to protect himself. Survival is the first law of nature. The elephant has great protective capacities, facilities, large ears and good eyes and very good memory, as you know. Memory like an elephant. So he's living 120 years. He's living so long, but he can't control his desire to touch. He can control every other desire, but to touch, simply to touch the female. So he runs after that female because of lust. Sparsha ananga vardhanam grihita manasa. His intense desire to touch that lady or man, in our applying it to human beings, it expands every moment as he looks at the object of touch. Oh, I have to touch her. I have to have that female elephant. I want to touch her, put my trunk on her, put my trunk around her and be with her, embrace her, put my arm. I want to put my arm around that thin waist of that beautiful elephant. thin waist of that beautiful elephant? That's interesting. But that's what the man thinks. Oh, look at that thin waist. And the other features are also quite good, attractive. I want to wrap my arm around there and sweep her off her feet and this and that. So he has the same idea with his elephant brain. His arm is his trunk, and his girlfriend is a Padmini elephant. So he runs after her. He doesn't notice the big hole, but camouflage and disguise with normal terrain of the forest, earth and leaves and everywhere like that. He runs. Oh, wait for me. Wait for me. I want to touch you. I want to put my arm around you. And she is trained to run around the hole. She runs around the hole and saves herself. And he goes, boom, falls 10 feet in the ground. And then next day, he's off to the New Delhi Zoo, the San Diego Zoo. Finished. His whole kingdom. He was ruling the whole forest, the king of an entire jungle in Africa or in South America. Now he's a zoo animal, a circus animal, dancing like a monkey for 5 peanuts. He was a king of an entire jungle. He could eat 200 kilos of bananas and 100 kilos of mangoes and leaves and fresh spring water. Now he gets some bowl of water and some scraps of biscuits for food and a few peanuts. And everybody looks at him, makes faces, takes pictures. The king became a beggar. The lion became a mouse. The elephant became a slave of the zookeeper because of uncontrolled sense of touch. Now the sages take this analogy and they show us in Puran, that's the poor, unfortunate condition of the less intelligent Pashu. What about human beings? The elephant sense of touch is so strong he destroys himself. The bee sense of smell is so strong he destroys himself. The butterfly batang sense of sight is so strong he destroys himself. What about men and women of this world, human beings? All the panchindriya are super, super strong. Our ears are strong. Our nose, our smell, touch, form, everything. Powerful senses. Indriya bala is so powerful. The grama bala, the group of senses are so powerful. They drive us crazy with sounds and sights and smells. The only way out, the only solution is Krishna. Krishna sparsham, Krishna gandham, Krishna shabdham, Krishna rasam. And that's available to the sadhaka. He pacifies and satisfies all of his senses by serving Krishna with all of his senses, like Ambarish Maharaj. The sense of touch, we described how we satisfy our senses by seeing the deity, tasting prasad, smelling, and everything we've covered except touch. How do we satisfy our intense desire, which can kill us? Mostly men and women are destroyed because of their desire to touch. There's a marriage line, use a marriage ritual in Western countries. It said, I promise with this woman that I'm accepting as my wife, I promise to have and to hold throughout my life. There's a whole prayer, you can say, promise that one takes in the marriage ceremony, English. I promise to have and to hold and protect and to serve my wife and satisfy for the whole life. And Hindu and Dharma, they have something similar. I must be, isn't it? So now, Krishna, we want, that's what I'm saying, that the sense of touch is so powerful that we want to have and hold that man or woman for life, or at least for a night, or for a weekend, or whatever, until my Ananga Vardhanam settles down, or that intense seizure of my mind, that fire of lust diminishes. So how do we touch Krishna? How do we get in touch with Krishna? How do we keep in contact with Krishna? Hey, Krishna, let's keep in contact. Hey, Krishna, let's keep in touch. All right, what's your phone number? My phone number is Bhakta Sunil, 714. Oh, acha, my number is KRSNA 108108, like this. So how to stay in touch? How to touch Krishna? Very easy. Go to the mandir. Go to see Krishna and offer the touch of your body. Offer the sense of touch, your hands, your lips, your forehead, this for the men. You lie in Dandabhat Pranam in front of Thakurji. Then you engage your body, your sense of touch in your body, in the service of Krishna by Padasevanam. And then you do Pradakshina, Parikrama, Mandir Parikrama, Thakurji Parikrama, Shalagram Parikrama. And then you purify the touch sensation of your feet and your whole body by walking around with your feet. Or you come to the Holy Dham on Tirtha Yatra, Vrajadham Yatra. And then you walk around Giri Govardhan. And you purify and you touch a Govardhan Shila or a Shalagram Shila, where you touch the Murti Rupam, your own Murti. Then you have your Gopal and you touch him every day, or your Radha and Krishna Murtis. You touch their transcendental forms and bathe them and serve them. Then your sense of touch becomes purified. Or you get mala, Tulsi mala, and you chant Ram Nam, Krishna Nam on your mala, Eksawat, solar rounds, so many rounds. And our hands want to touch men and women. Hands are a troublemaker. Usually we don't feel lusty to touch a woman with our feet. A man doesn't see a beautiful woman and say, oh, my feet are really itching to touch that woman, to embrace that woman with my feet. No, the hands want to touch the handsome, romantic man, and the hands want to touch the beautiful woman. The hands are a problem. So what do? Cut off our hands? We sit on our hands and chant Om? Om. That's a good idea. But still, the desire will remain in the chitta. The sanskara will remain no matter how much you sit on your hands and chant Om. You must remove the desire by creating a new desire to touch Krishna. That desire comes by associating with Krishna. Touch his murti, touch his holy dham, touch his temple. Krishna's mandir is tadiyanam. Tadiyanam is divya. When you go and open that door to the temple and put your hand on that door is transcendental. It's called Haridwar, Haridwar, the door to God's land, the door to Hari's temple. And you open that up, and then your hand becomes purified. And you touch the holy dham, you take Brajaraj, put your hands in, and you touch the holy waters, you take snan, Radhakun, Shamakun, Jamuna snan, Manasiganga, Ganga snan, and your whole body is touched and embraced by Ganga Devi, that Chinmoy rasam of Krishna's Charanamritam, Ganga. That Yamuna, which is Lila Rasam of Krishna. So the body becomes embraced and touched and caressed by the touch of Krishna, Yamuna Devi, and Holy Dham and Giriraj. And then, if you're fortunate, you meet a sadhu or a saintly lady or saintly woman. You may embrace that lady, if you're a lady, or that saintly lady or the saintly man. Or they may touch your forehead, or they may hold your hand. Your sense of touch becomes purified. And then with your hands, if you make arpan, you make offering with these hands, these very hands which represent the sense of touch, which annihilate and kill the king of the jungle. These very hands annihilate and kill the king of the industry. You can be a CEO of a multi-billion dollar industry and be a brahmachari, celibate. But somewhere, somehow, at some time, you may see someone that you want to touch. That girl really touched my heart. So I want to touch her. I want to be with her. I want to marry her. So you give up all your, you know, give up. But now you become married. But the sense, when these hands are engaged in the service of Krishna, arpan, we take some phal, patram, pushpam, palam, tayam. With these hands, we offer to Krishna. We engage these hands in Krishna's service. Then they become purified. They become Krishnaized, spiritualized. And then we'll never get destroyed by our desire to touch Maya. We'll never get affected by the material kamade, this ananga, this cupid, because love of Krishna is filling our hands. Love of Krishna is filling our eyes. Love of Krishna is filling our mouth and our words, the shabda. Love of Krishna is filling our ears and nose. So when you're saturated with love, you're fully satisfied. Aptakam and Atmaram, the Premi Bhakt. That's what sadhana is all about. It's the path of love. Vishnu sadhana, Krishna sadhana is the path of love, the path of ultimate satisfaction, the path of joy and eternal life. Start now. So offer all of our senses to God. Engage all of our senses and easily we can get free from the pulverization, victimization of the material god of love, so-called love, Kamadev, Grihita Manasa. But tomorrow we'll continue on this Brajasriya Krishna Grihita Manasa. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Jai Jai Shri Radhe.